I'm going to call the meeting to order. I'm going to ask you to please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. And today we have with us Cub Scout Nash Pack 567, the Wiblo's Den, and they're going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Well done. Can somebody come up and tell us a little bit about your troop? You can just grab that microphone and bring it down there.
Den 1 from Pack 567, and we are right now Weeble's 1, and we are here because we're going towards earning our citizenship badge, and this is one of the requirements for earning that badge.
Thank you. And can you introduce yourself and maybe the rest of your pack? And when you introduce them, they'll just kind of stand up, we'll know who's who. And
I'm Matthew Hupp. Right over there is Mason Kiernan, and then Aaron Ho, Gavin Brown, Eden Harding, Ethan Weinstein, and Austin Weinstein.
All right. We got one gentleman sitting in the front there. Who's that?
That's Max Kiernan.
All right. Has everybody got plans on being an Eagle Scout, working on all the badges? Or all right. Well, thank you very much for leading us in the pledge, and I hope you enjoy the meeting this evening.
Thank you.
You're going to be a part of one of the most interesting meetings you're ever going to attend in your life.
And that moves us on to item 3, roll call.
John Steinbrink.
Here.
Monica Uhas.
Here.
Steve Kmorkwitz.
Here.
Clyde Allen.
Here.
Mike Serpy.
Here. At quorum being present, move on to item 4, minutes of the meeting for September 16, 2013. Presented to board members in written form.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Monica, second by Steve. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. That moves us to item 5, citizens' comments. Anyone wishing to speak under citizens' comments? Hearing none, we're going to close citizens' comments and move on to item 6, administrator's report. That being said, we're going to move on to item 7, new business. The first item being item A, to consider a proclamation designating October 2013 as Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And as you notice, everybody up here has a pink tie on except me. So It's not that I'm for it, not for it, but I did forgot the memo, one or the other. So
Excuse us.
Do we have
Jane?
This is from the Office of the Village President. Whereas for 27 years, National Breast Cancer Awareness Month has educated the public about the importance of early detection for breast cancer, and whereas since the inception of National Breast Cancer Awareness Month, mammography use has doubled and breast cancer death rates have declined, and whereas mammography is the best available method of detecting breast changes that may be cancer long before physical symptoms can be seen or felt, And whereas a further decline in breast cancer death rates could be achieved through the use of mammography at regular intervals, and whereas we recognize the immeasurable life-saving value of educating the public about the importance of early detection for breast cancer, now therefore, I, John P. Steinbrink, president of the Village of Pleasant Prairie, do hereby proclaim the week of October 6th through 12th, 2013, as Breast Cancer Awareness Week in the Village of Pleasant Prairie, and encourage citizens to increase their awareness of the benefits of early breast cancer detection. Given under my hand and seal of the Village of Pleasant Prairie, the 7th day of October, 2013.
Thank you, Jane.
We need a motion to accept that.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Clyde, second by Mike. Any further discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. That brings us to item B, and that is to receive the Planning Commission recommendation and consider Ordinance 13-45 to amend Chapter 420, Attachment 3, Appendix C, Specific Development Plan 31, entitled Cobblestone Creek Planned Unit Development PUD. And this is located south of Prairie Ridge Boulevard between 91st and 94th Avenues and north of 80th Street.
Mr. President, members of the board in the audience, this is a request for a zoning text amendment, Ordinance 13-45, and this is to modify a planned unit development that was put into place by the village for the Cobblestone Apartment Development that's located south of Prairie Ridge Boulevard between 91st and 94th Avenues and north of 80th Street. The development is in the R11, which is a multiple family district with a PUD overlay, which is a planned unit development overlay. Specifically, the project that was approved and is under construction was for the development of four apartment buildings, two 40-unit buildings, and two 48-unit buildings for a total of 176 apartment units, which included some efficiency units, one-bedroom and two-bedroom units. In addition, there was also a clubhouse that was built on the site, kind of in the center of the various buildings. The developer has been very successful with respect to this project. The first 40-unit building was completed on July 1st and is now occupied. They have started the next, and they have continued down the line, and they hope to have all the buildings under construction and completed within the year. The project has been very, very successful for them. The one modification, though, and the reason for the PUD this evening is that they are modifying the buildings to be a 36-unit instead of a 40-unit and two 44-unit instead of two 48-units. What they found is that the single efficiencies by themselves were a little small, and so they're converting some of those to the two-unit buildings or two-unit apartments. So with that, because of that modification, an adjustment in size and a modification slightly in the plans, this does require a modification in the PUD, which is a zoning text amendment. This is a matter that was before the Village Plan Commission at their last meeting, and the staff and the Plan Commission recommend approval. In your packets and in your information, there is some very specific information as to that shows you exactly how each of the modifications were being made. Basically, we're just adjusting some numbers and adjusting so that we have the modified plans. The staff is recommending approval as presented.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Steve, second by Monica. Any further discussion on this item?
Yes, a question, Jenny. The west unit is going to remain 40 units in the building?
Yes, that's correct. The initial one is going to remain the way it was originally platted and originally constructed. Again, this doesn't mean that they're eliminating all the efficiencies in the other buildings. They're just modifying a couple of the units. They still have, something like 18 different floor plans. They have a great variety, but they are finding that there's a little bit more of a demand for a one-bedroom with a loft or a two-bedroom or an efficiency with another loft. So, and then they're also making some minor modifications with respect to the bathrooms. So, for example, if you have a one-bedroom, they're making some modifications so that the bathroom is on the first floor with that one-bedroom, and then there might be an efficiency or loft upstairs, but it has just a smaller bathroom upstairs, not a full bath. So they're really listening to the market and listening to what the tenants are requesting, and they're actually, they had a waiting list, and they still do, and they think that the project will finish up a little bit quicker than they actually anticipated.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any further comment or question? If not, we have a motion and a second. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? So carries. That brings us to item C, is consider an award of contract for cleaning services at the Village Hall and Roger Prang Municipal Center.
President, members of the board, on September 17th, a request for proposal of cleaning services was reissued to VendorNet, who was sent to 137 cleaning companies. It was also advertised in the Kenosha News legal section for 2 weeks. As you recall from the last meeting, we only had one bid sent received last time, and so we rejected that bid and then put it back out again. So on October 1st of this month, we opened bids for the cleaning services for the Prang Center and Village Hall, and we did receive four bids. They were from Cleaning Green Solutions, DK Solutions, SCC Cleaning Company, and Clean Power. The current contract holder, Iglesias Superclean, has sold their existing contracts and has canceled their contract with the Village for $4,965 monthly with Pleasant Prairie, effective October 6th, this Sunday. Clean Power, who I am recommending for the award, is currently providing cleaning services to Waukesha County, where for them they do their admin, their public works, and their jail facilities, Milwaukee County Behavioral Health, Johnson Financial Group, Modi Manufacturing, and many other businesses in the area. We did call the references and confirm that those companies have been happy with them, especially we thought we really paralleled Waukesha County with the admin and the jail and the public works. They've been cleaning their buildings since 2004 and nothing but great things to say for them. So I recommend a contract be awarded to Clean Power in the amount of $4,240.86 per month to provide cleaning services at the Prang Municipal Center. Then that's both the PD and the public works side and Village Hall for a three-year contract to be paid for that amount. The contract will begin on October 14th and terminate October 13th of 2016. I can answer any questions.
John, are any of these companies local?
Cleaning Green Solutions is local, but they were the most pricey by quite a bit.
Okay, thank you. I move to approve the contract for Clean Power,
424086. Second.
Motion by Mike, second by Steve for adoption of the contract for Clean Power. Any further discussion?
They're going to be a big outfit, don't they?
Excuse me?
It's going to be a large outfit.
Yeah, they are a large contract. They do have a lot of employees.
Okay.
Further comment or question? If not, we have a motion and a second. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? So carries. That brings us to item D, consider ordinance number 13-46 to amend Chapter 119 of the Municipal Code relating to dog licensing and regulations.
Mr. President, after our last three recent vicious dog hearings, it was discussed that possibly we would eliminate the vicious dog license and rework our ordinance. And so the police chief, Mike, and I sat down and discussed the changes that we'd like to see to the ordinance, and the ordinance was drafted, and that's what's proposed tonight for your consideration. I did put the current ordinance in there. It was kind of hard to do a redline version because there was so much change in moving paragraphs around. So, and with my memo, I explained it, but I'll just give you kind of a brief overview of it, and then if you have any questions, either the chief, Mike, or I can probably answer them. So in the current ordinance, we took away the vicious dog and the wolf hybrid animal licenses, eliminated. They kind of mirrored each other. We've never used any part of the ordinance regarding wolf hybrid animals, but as you know, we've been through some vicious dog hearings. So in eliminating the vicious dog license and the references to the wolf hybrid animals, I did incorporate a paragraph F that I indicated that the wolf hybrid dogs are not permitted in the village and will not be licensed. So that basically took three pages of the ordinance and put it into one sentence. And I talked to Don Mayo about that. He was the one that drafted the supplement to the wolf hybrid animal ordinance back in 1995, and so we had a nice long discussion about it, and he agreed with this change. We have updated the definitions a little bit. As you can see from one to the other, there aren't a lot of changes. Probably tied some out a little bit better. Changed the term vicious to dangerous. We were looking at other ordinances, the city of Kenosha's, Eau Claire's. Might have had another one in there. So we're just kind of working with a few different ordinances. They decided to change that term. The determination, as we've been through, the determination of the police chief, the notice, the request for hearing, the hearing, impoundment, and all that language has been retained from the previous ordinance. Probably tightened up a little bit more about what happens at a hearing, just so the board has clear definition as to what their role is if the hearing does take place and an appeal. The regulations to sell or transfer a dangerous dog out of the village are unchanged. They'd still have to give notice. I'd still have to notify the municipality. Those have remained unchanged. We kept all that language. We did address the current vicious dog license that's issued. We have one license that's issued under the new section 119-4. And basically, that's what's going to happen is if they violate any of the regulations that are in effect as of before this ordinance takes place, then the dog's immediately pounded, and it's going to go through the same process as what we're proposing tonight, and I'll explain that. So, they violate anything. The dog's outside without a muzzle. He doesn't keep his insurance current. He's out of his cage or the signage is gone. Any one of those regulations that are in place now, if he violates them, the dog can be impounded immediately, and then I'll let you know as we go along here what they follow the ordinance as proposed tonight. So basically, in summary, what's going to happen is if the police chief determines the dog is dangerous, and this is the same instance, if they request a hearing appealing it, the owner has 10 days to do these things. They either authorize, within the 10 days, they either authorize the dog to be humanely destroyed, they request a hearing, they sell or transfer the dangerous dog out of the village. If they do nothing within the 10 days, the dog is humanely destroyed at the owner's expense. We'll give them the 10 days. If there's a hearing, then there's by ordinance, pretty sure we kept in the same time limits between 10 and 30 days, I'm thinking it is. Then we'll have a hearing like we did before, and then the board determines that they either agree with the police chief's determination or the dog is not dangerous. If they agree with the determination, they got 10 days to either authorize the dog to be destroyed or sell it or transfer it out of the village. If they do nothing again, the village takes care of that at the owner's expense. If the board decides that the police chief's determination was incorrect and the dog is not dangerous, the dog is immediately returned to the owner and the village pays the impoundment fees because we've impounded the dog and that goes back. And again, non-response to the determination means that the dog can be humanely destroyed at the owner's expense. They got the 10 days. So we tightened all that up quite a bit. Again, we added a little bit more about the hearing so the board knows exactly what their role is. And all other provisions regarding the confinement and the disposition of the dog, violations, running at large, removal of animal waste, all those rest of those paragraphs, as I indicated in my memo, are remained unchanged. So that's what's proposed tonight. And again, if you have any questions, then it could be for the police chief or Mike.
No question.
Mike?
Has any consideration been given to outlawing pit bulls in the village?
No, we didn't. And it seems like we received some legal advice a while back that just outlawing a breed was a problem. But we know historically almost all of our vicious dogs have been pit bulls, with the exception of the bull mastiff, which was the last one we did. So I think with this ordinance, what we're trying to get to is a point where, a resident still has that protection of getting some due process with the board to make their case. But the problems that we were having with this is that some of the liability we were taking on by saying the dog is okay if it gets insurance, or then managing that insurance, and then getting the dog neutered and verifying that. With our last one, we had everything covered, and then the Humane Society turned them loose before everything was all ready. So it just, I think with this respect, and really what a lot of people were doing is that they had someplace else they could take that dog and get it out of the get it out of the community, and then that resolved our problems, and they were still their dog or wherever it's going. But.
I make a motion to approve Ordinance 1346.
Second. Motion by Mike, second by Clyde for adoption of Ordinance 13-46. Further comment or question? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? So carries. That brings us to item E. That is consider Ordinance 13-47 to amend Chapter 250-3 of the Municipal Code, and this is relating to an exception to discharge a firearm.
This is just a cleanup ordinance. As you can see, there's the question was asked at the counter a couple weeks ago, and that kind of brought it to our attention that somebody wanted to just right up Springbrook Road wanted to start skeet shooting. So, and they saw that it could be approved by the village board, but that wasn't the intent of the ordinance. And as they read it, they understood that it just doesn't happen anywhere. So conditional use permits haven't been brought before the village board for approval, as you can see, since June 7th of 1999. So it's just a cleanup saying that it has to be allowed in an underlying zoning district. It would go to the plan commission. Just something that came to our attention and we're cleaning up.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Clyde, second by Mike for adoption of Ordinance 13-47. Further discussion on this item? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. Brings us to item F, consider Ordinance 13-48 to amend Chapter 370 relating to certificates of occupancy or compliance.
President, I'd ask we also consider item 7G. They're two separate ordinances, but I think the discussion is pertinent to both.
We'll also bring up item G, consider Ordinance 13-49 to amend Chapter 180, the Municipal Code relating to fire and rescue occupancy compliance.
Mr. President, members of the board, the chapters in these sections refer to certificate of occupancy, and what we're trying to do is clean. A lot of times when there are non-life-threatening issues for buildings, we will allow a verbal occupancy. And typically what happens after a entity gets a verbal occupancy, they don't follow through to have us come out and do a final inspection to issue a written certificate of occupancy. So these changes that we're recommending tonight, actually, if you can go to the next slide, that will actually puts time frame on when, after we issue a verbal occupancy, there's going to be a time frame where they have to come back and request a final inspection. In the case of a verbal occupancy, we're saying 30 days or other time that the inspector, if it's a minor issue that they need, maybe 40 days, the inspector has that latitude. And then we're putting in here failure to comply with this provision could result in violations and penalties as prescribed in Chapter 370.26 of the Village Code. The final issue relative to Chapter 370 is for one and two family projects. Again, outstanding issues have to be resolved within 1 year of the issuance of verbal occupancy. Typically, these are very minor things, and we don't have the resources to bird dog all these. So what this does is it makes them liable to get back to the village so that we can do a final inspection and actually give them a written certificate of occupancy. Can I go to the next one? You want
to? The additions to Chapter 180 for the Fire and Rescue Ordinance is a complete addition. We haven't had any language that addresses certificate of occupancies before. And we actually mirrored the language in both community development ordinance and in the building inspection ordinance in 420 and 370. So it kind of dovetails in nicely. We're very similar language and would tie into the penalties. A lot of the issues that are still outstanding when we give a verbal to occupy are fire and rescue related, usually paperwork issues. We ask for a letter from the sprinkler company that says that the sprinkler system is 100% complete, the alarm system is 100% complete. So, you know, if there was ever an issue later that, you know, and there was a failure or a problem, that the contractor wouldn't be able to come back and say, oh, we weren't done with that yet. These are the types of things we're usually waiting for. All the life safety issues are corrected prior to issuing a verbal. And so the language that we put in here allows us to give a verbal, which is something that we had done, and it kind of dovetails in nicely with the other ordinances.
Do we have the capability on our computers that it will automatically remind us in 30 days? If we give a 30-day occupancy a verbal, do we have the capability of that automatically popping up to remind us?
Our records management system, Firehouse, actually has a thing that allows us to reschedule that. And what we were lacking before was specific penalties, you know, to really encourage the owner of the structure or the occupant in the event of like a retail establishment to do that. And now with the language in Mike's ordinance changes in ours, we have some teeth to make sure that happens.
Any other questions for Doug? Just a note that this is Fire Chief Doug McElmurray, the Village Pleasant Prairie Fire Department, and Doug is a Eagle Scout when he was younger. He can tie more knots than anybody I know. And he even helped Mike untie his shoe one time. So.
Motion to approve Ordinance 13-48.
Second.
Motion by Clyde, second by Mike, for adoption of Ordinance 13-48. Any further discussion on this item? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? So carries.
Move approval 13-49.
Second.
Motion by Mike, second by Steve, for adoption of Ordinance 13-49. Any further discussion on this item? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. That brings us to item H, consider operator license applications on file.
Just two applications tonight, Gail Rogers, Jacob Tappa. They've met the requirements of the ordinance.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Clyde, second by Monica. Approval of operator license applications on file. Any further discussion on any of the applications? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. That brings us to item 8, Village Board comments. Mike?
Saturday, Mr. President, as you are aware, that we have the dedication to the dog park. And I can't tell you how nice of a job that, where's John? John Jr. and his staff and the parks Commission did on putting that together and mapping it out. It's just, it's a nice asset for the village. Very, very, very nice and job well done. Nice job, John.
I concur with Mike. You guys did an excellent job in that park. It was nice to see all the dogs together socializing. I got to tell you, the first time I see my dog jump in the water. He's not a water dog, he's a snow dog. But that was great. It's a big asset to the community. And everybody who was over there was impressed with the job that you guys did. So thank you, John.
For the everybody who's getting along there, maybe you could offer as a retreat site for Congress and they could get there and play together and sniff each other and, you know, whatever it takes to get them to come to an agreement.
That's what I need over there.
Clyde.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to thank Cub Scout and Ash Pack 567 and Weeblow's Den for leading us on our pledge, and I hope they got something out of the meeting they heard tonight. Thank you.
I told you this would be exciting.
I also want to congratulate Gene Werby and Jane Romanowski. They're both recent grandmas. There's been a rash of that in the village here. So they're both very proud. They display a lot of pictures. They tonight we received candy from Gene. And congratulations on your new additions to the family. Also, we've received a few calls on Halloween, and some people are for the date, some people are against. And I think I've received calls on both sides. And I think the one thing we have to remember is the fact that a lot of folks do work in the village. There aren't sidewalks everywhere. I believe the police chief recommended holding it on Sunday also. So for safety purposes, I think we made a good choice with that. I know there's going to be a lot of people that are happy it's on Sunday, and hopefully the weather's going to be good, because always a determining factor is whether we have the good weather on the actual Halloween day or the day designated as Halloween day. So I would take a poll of the scouts, but I'm not going to do that. So.
John, could I dovetail on yours? I received an email as well on a complaint that we should have had at the same time as the city, but and I explained the problems that we used to have years ago when Halloween was on the night of the held on the night of the on the date of the event. On a subdivision, there's nothing stopping a homeowners association from getting together and organizing their own trick-or-treat night if they wish on the night. I mean, if the parents want to supervise that, they're more than welcome to do so. I mean, so we're not going to stop anybody from doing this. But unfortunately, with the city, with what they did to us now, is kids 9, 10, 11, 12 years old at all don't know the boundaries between Pleasant Prairie and the city. And there are going to be trick-or-treaters going out on Sunday, going across into the city, and on the Thursday night coming across into the village, and it's just not going to mesh. And plus, again, you hit it right in the head, John, the safety factor of things that can happen. And I remember years ago when it was pretty rough, and that's why the changes were made. Obviously, the people that are having kids today weren't born at that time and don't know what went on, but they may soon find out. And I hope it goes well, but we'll see.
Thank you, Mike. And as we know, the days do get shorter and darkness comes sooner, and we don't want people walking in the roadway in the dark if we can help it. Steve?
Yeah, it's two issues right there, too. Many, many years ago, we used to have auxiliary police in Pleasant Prairie. There used to be, in all the subdivision, used to be one or two guys in uniform walking around. The township was smaller at the time, too, so it could be more controlled. There didn't used to be all the stuff that we got today, all the problems we got today. Besides that, it appears that the parents got more activities going with the kids in nights. So that's going to interfere with their life, too, if we do that. So I think that was best way to do it. On Sunday, everybody's home. They're doing daylight, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock till dawn.
Also on Saturday, the Prairie Farms Trail opens. Is that correct, John?
Mm-hmm.
And what time does that open?
The race starts at 9. We're having a grand opening ceremony at 8:30 a.m. by the North Ball Diamonds of Lake Andrea.
Okay, so we're going to have a race at that time. And
that's correct.
Okay. So if the scouts have time that day, maybe come on down and view the race. Or are they old enough to participate yet? Or?
Yes, they are.
All right.
That's,
I believe they're faster than all of us, so keep that in mind. Clyde?
Thank you. Dovetailing on that, I had the opportunity to go on the trail, and John, you spoke very highly of it and how beautiful it was. There were areas you didn't see houses, the power plant. You saw nothing, just natural surroundings, and it was more than you described. It was absolutely beautiful. And I enjoyed it very much, so I hope a lot of people enjoy it.
Okay. Any further village board comments? Hearing none, we'll move on to item 9, which is considering entering into executive session pursuant to section 19.95, paren 1, paren G, Wisconsin statutes, and this to confer with legal counsel for the governmental body who is rendering oral or written advice concerning strategy to be adopted by the body with respect to the litigation in which it is or is likely to become involved. And for this, we need a roll call vote.
I'll make a motion to enter into executive session.
Second. Roll call.
Motion by Clyde, second by Steve. Roll call vote is in order.
John Steinbrink.
Aye.
Monica Juhas.
Aye.
Steve Komorkowitz.
Aye.
Clyde Allen.
Aye.
Mike Serpy.
Aye.
And as a note, on item 10, the board will return to open session for the purpose of adjournment only. No other business will be conducted.